Morning.
Morning.
This week, I came across a story about a doctor in Israel who was exploring ancient herbal remedies from plants that had become extinct. In her research, she discovered that the first century writers like Josephus and Pliny the Younger had recorded accounts of sprawling date plantations all along the Dead Sea, which over time had vanished from Israel. The doctor consulted a local archaeologist and discovered that the seeds from this historical period had actually been recovered during an archaeological dig. So she procured a few of the seeds, teamed up with a natural scientist, and together they set out to plant these 2,000-year-old natural artifacts. And lo and behold, 6 weeks later, the seeds began to sprout. One of them eventually growing into a full tree that they named Methuselah. This remarkable story provides an interesting commentary on the dynamics of preservation and cultivation. Growing an ancient, possibly extinct date tree wouldn't have been possible without both the archaeologists who found and preserved the seeds, and then the scientists who were intrigued by the idea of growing something new, or at least something that had been dormant for a very long time. And together, they cultivated this remnant of a past agricultural society and gave new birth to something alive. Our gospel reading this morning from Matthew provides us with a similar dynamic when Jesus tells the gathered crowd that they are both salt and light. That they are both, as a people, something old and also something new. They are called to both preserve and also to cultivate. Historically, salt was primarily used as a preservative, and it was also commonly used as a metaphor for wisdom. Similar to salt, wisdom forms as a deposit, slowly over time, accumulating and building upon itself. There seems to be some type of dual meaning employed here, using both of these images, that God's people are called to preserve tradition, but more importantly, we're called to preserve our deposit of inherited wisdom. In our traditional baptismal rituals, after water and oil have been applied, a pinch of salt is placed into the child's mouth. I don't think we really do that anymore. But it's a symbolic gesture of wisdom being transmitted from one generation to the next. This passage from Matthew does seem to pose this question. What is the salt of our faith? We can summarize the purpose of our faith through the great commandments to love God and to love our neighbors. But what is the wisdom that might guide us in this pursuit? The reading this morning from the prophet Isaiah offers us a reasonable starting point. As we heard, Isaiah wrote, "Is this not the fast that I chose? To loose the bounds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and bring the homeless and the poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly." Isaiah offers us this series of explicit imperatives that might guide our lives. Free the oppressed, take care of the poor, and don't neglect your own family or community. The wisdom from this passage in Isaiah seems to have clearly influenced Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Earlier in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is recorded transmitting this same ethical wisdom, a specific declaration on the imperative to love thy neighbor. This bit of wisdom has been passed down from generation to generation among both Jews and Christians for almost 3,000 years, and it hasn't lost its flavor. It's still a radical call to love and inclusion. It's still very much relevant all these years later. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, makes this interesting distinction between human wisdom and God's wisdom. Paul seems to indicate that there is something important about our disposition towards the deposit of our own wisdom, that it's not enough for us to pragmatically recognize the history of our wisdom or acknowledge its potential value, but we're also called to be hopeful. Hopeful that the wisdom of God would be reborn again in the lives of people, that the light of Jesus would shine in our own lives, and we would be both salt and light, that we would continue on in the commitment to be people who believe in establishing and preserving just and equitable societies, and that we would also be people of hope, people who work to cultivate a community and a world where our wisdom and our faith work hand in hand to build and renew our society. The pragmatic wisdom of human beings might try to lull us into the belief that the world is exactly as it ought to be, that we all have the lives that we deserve, that our wealth or our poverty is a direct result of our own successes or failures. But I think most of us have experienced enough disappointment and setback and little failures to question the virtue of this type of wisdom. There's plenty of wisdom and knowledge in the modern world. Technology and innovation continue to leap forward, making important progress in critical areas that support human life and well-being. But there's also plenty of loneliness and cynicism and anguish. The wisdom of God offers us an alternative story. The difficulties of the modern world are undeniable, but the theme of God's story is not despair, but hope. In the passage we read this morning, Isaiah goes on to suggest that when God's people are cultivating justice and mercy in our communities, when we participate in communal, hopeful action, that our own healing will spring up quickly. That in the great human experiment of being salt and light, of loving God and loving our neighbors, we will find our own peace and forgiveness and meaning. Date trees are a bit odd, or so I've learned. They either produce pollen or fruit. And as it turned out, all the trees that the Israeli scientists were initially able to grow were all pollen producers. There were no fruit trees. So they went back to their archaeologist friends, and they got some new seeds from another ancient community, from Qumran, where the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered. And they planted these seeds too. And three of these new date trees are capable of bearing fruits, keeping the possibility alive of reproducing that same extinct type of date that Jesus may have eaten in his travels in Judea. In a similar way, when our best attempts to cultivate new life fail or don't go according to plan, God calls us to resist despair. In our alternative story of hope, we don't quit or start over from scratch. We go back to our wisdom, the wisdom of God, that guides us towards justice and mercy and love. We are salt and light, called to preserve God's radical wisdom that we might love one another with the hope of cultivating new life and life in God's mission to repair the world. Amen.